Welcome to the In Hope Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Preach.
And I'm Brandon. And each week we drop an episode to strengthen unity in the body of Christ.
We want you to be part of the conversation. So make sure you like, share, subscribe, and let's talk. I will never forget this because my brother, back when, I don't know if he was late and he was in high school or just out of high school, but he would cut his hair. He would have it bald. And he looked like MJ. When he did it, he would remind me of MJ. Mm-hmm. And I just remember one time at Little League, we were watching my brother play. So I was out there with the family and there was some kid behind us and he was like freaking out. He was like, "Mom, it's Michael Jordan." He really thought my brother was MJ. He was so excited.
Is he pretty tall?
Not as tall as Mike. Yeah. My brother is probably 6. Oh, but okay. I mean, MJ.
But to a little kid.
Yeah. And to a little kid. Yeah. You're not exactly. So, yeah. So that was funny. I'll never forget that. Never forget that. Okay. Speaking of men to whom many others aspire, let's talk about David.
David. Aspire and not so much sometimes.
And not so much sometimes, right? Yeah.
I want to be called the man after God's own heart.
But yes.
Some of those other things, maybe not.
Exactly. Exactly. What's it called? Well, we were talking about, and this is going to be fun because I love the fact that we're revisiting. We always talk about on this podcast that we want to join the conversation, right? And a lot of times conversations we revisit. Conversations aren't like one and done, but like you come back to things. And so we were talking the other day. And I can't remember exactly how we ended up getting into this, but we were talking the other day about David and his many wives. And the whole premise of that, where that came from, was that we were saying our goal is to be in unity with the head. So with Jesus, right? And that being in agreement with him is what really matters. And sometimes we, as different believers, we can be in agreement with Jesus over something, but that doesn't make us in agreement with each other over something. Right.
Yeah.
And then, so we were talking about some different examples and I threw David out there as one of those examples. Cause in, I forget what chapter it is. It's when Nathan, ends up confronting him. He confronts him about stealing Bathsheba and killing Bathsheba's husband. And
which was not good.
Which was I was crossing the lines.
cross a little bit of a line there.
But I was talking, I was using that as an example because David had many wives. But yet he was still in good relationship with Jesus. And we were saying how now we would, like me and you, we would look at each other and if we were like, "Hey, I'm going to get a second wife," we'd be like, "Dude, no,
that's not
that's not okay. That's not being in agreement with the head." Right. So obviously we would disagree with David at this point. Mm-hmm. Right. But then I was saying, but David was still in agreement with Jesus or with God. And so I know you said, and you asked, you're like,
"Yeah," I was like, was he really in agreement with God? Because like God was like, "Yeah, you should go have a bunch of wives." But then he did allow it.
Exactly.
And that was like kind of the crux, right?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes God, and what we were just talking about before we came in is like, what is that? Is that God's, agreement of an allowance, or is it his grace?
Yes.
In that he's accomplishing a goal. And so he's willing to give grace to all of us really. Mm-hmm. But some people more than others, maybe in certain cases, like you see it with Abraham, like he made a specific covenant with Abraham.
Yeah.
And then Abraham did some things also in that same realm that were not.
Why is it always struggles with women? Like from the beginning, right?
We struggle sometimes. The men do. And he made some mistakes there, but then God still kept his covenant with him and still blessed him through after that. And so you could take that as like God was endorsing what he did.
Mm.
But it was more of a sign of grace. And you actually see that in the way that he also blessed. So in that story, right? So Abraham was told he would have a son.
Yeah.
He decided to take matters into his own hands.
Yep.
And his wife even joined him in that.
Yeah.
And said, well, just sleep with our slave or our Hagar.
Yeah. With her slave. Yeah.
And that way we can have a kid and mm-hmm. I'll raise it and it'll be mine. But then that doesn't work out so good.
No. Nope.
And then she does end up having her own son.
Yeah.
And so they cast them out and you see that like God's even merciful to them.
Yes.
Because he says, I will bless her and that line and that as well. Line.
Exactly.
Even though they're not part of this covenant that I'm making with you.
Yeah.
And he does.
Yeah.
And so like, is it God's, is his ability to give us grace the same as permission to do it?
Exactly.
And that's the thing, I was like, wait a minute.
Agreement.
What are we actually talking about here?
Because I think that term agreement also can be taken as, like you said, endorsing, like saying, right. I want you to do this.
Yes.
Right. And so I think that's big to clarify.
Yeah, it is.
And
I think so.
And so with that agreement, especially within David's case, where like saying agreement there, I would say when I'm saying agreement, I'm not saying so much as David or that God is saying, yes, that's what I want you to do. You're in my will. Mm-hmm. Perfectly
right.
on this. But I was even talking with someone earlier about this. I feel like you saying grace is the perfect example of this. God, not to my knowledge, has he ever laid out like, this is everything I want you to do for you to be perfect. Right. Mm-hmm. Like here is the end goal for you. Right.
Well,
you're
going to
get
law.
Rid of this. There is, but
so there
even
is like a guideline in that sense.
Yeah. But even in that, like we can look at the law of the Old Testament mm-hmm. and say, okay, well he was permitting slavery in there.
Mm.
And then even within it, there was an intention that you see of him guiding them to a point where there wouldn't be slavery.
Right.
Right. So it's kind of like,
and was slavery the same as we look at slavery?
No.
Now too,
and that would have been different as well.
Was.
Yeah. But even
it was
then
almost more of like a work.
Yeah, it
structure.
Was. Yeah, absolutely.
Like you owe me. So you're going to work it off.
Yeah.
They called that.
Yeah.
Slave. Yeah,
absolutely. But even in there, I mean, you can see like there's issues with disciplining and hitting and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
And then even in there as well, and Jesus talks about this later in the New Testament, even within there, the Old Testament law, there was discussion of divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And there was discussion of having multiple wives, mm-hmm. Which we see within the New Testament, they speak against. So it was kind of one of those things to where you see so often God is working on us in layers, so to speak, like to use that onion analogy, right? He's working on us in layers versus rather than saying, okay, like taking out the blade and cutting straight down to the middle mm-hmm. and saying, this is how it's going to be. He gives grace with his grace, mercy, and patience. He works on us one layer at a time. And I used the analogy the other day. I feel like this is a really good analogy for this. When you have gold, you don't take gold and take it from 2 carat to 24 carat in one burn.
Mm.
Like it's just you don't do that. You can't do that. As God is refining us and he's testing us, right, and putting us in the fire, we go from 2 carat to 4 carat.
Yeah.
And then to 6 or 8, right? And then, so it's, he never just says, okay, hey, 2 carat guy, all right, now that you're walking with me, 24, right?
Here's the expectation.
Right? It cuts it all.
Fail even a little, you're out.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, he doesn't bring all of the impurities up and cut them away right away.
Totally.
He brings little by little.
Yeah, it's a restoration process.
Exactly.
What's the other word I'm looking for? The process of
Sanctification. Okay, there it is. Oh, boom. Yeah.
It's a process of sanctification. I actually saw
it was a click.
There's you a did video. The click, I know. There's these videos online right now that are kind of popular of people cleaning rugs. Have you seen this?
Okay, no.
Well, they'll bring in this like completely filthy rug and they go through this washing process and it's like an ASMR kind of thing.
Oh, wow.
And I started posting on them recently. I was like, this reminds me of like the process of knowing Jesus, because it kind of is like you look at it, they bring it in and it's like completely caked with like mud like this. You can't even see the rug.
Oh,
and
no.
Then they just start going through this and it's like different washing processes.
Yeah.
But it takes them a good, I don't know, like 10 to 12 processes to get all the way to the clean.
Wow.
And it's kind of fascinating to watch.
Yeah. If they tried to go all at once, they would probably ruin the rug.
Well, it just doesn't even work.
Yeah.
Like they just can't.
Yeah.
Like there's so much in there that they have to wash it one time. They have to scrape it.
Yeah.
They have to rinse it. Then they have to throw another layer of wash on, scrape it, rinse it. And I was like, man, this is so like our process with God.
Yeah.
And it is a show of his grace. And you see it in the Old Testament. It's like not just something that happened with Jesus. Jesus made it a lot easier on us.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the whole like sacrificial process.
Yeah.
Like God set that up way back. In the time of Moses. And and the reason why was because he had grace for us and he recognized that we needed this.
Yeah.
We needed to kind of go through these cycles of like, okay, I messed up and I'm repenting.
Yeah.
And I need to make an offering for that.
Yeah.
And then God is saying, like we were talking about in our last episode about it's this heart posture thing that he's always just kind of working on cleaning our heart a little bit over and over again.
Yeah.
And over time you end up maybe get into that clean rug.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, I mean, when we look at that and this idea of like where God's working on us and being in agreement with him. Right. Mm-hmm. And so maybe between God and David, this multiple wives and concubines thing wasn't one of the impurities, right, that he wants to bring up and deal with at that time. He's working on other stuff. Obviously, he's working on David's heart right there.
Yeah.
But so it's not one of those things that he's going to bring up and work on at that time. Whereas with me and you, it's like that's kind of built in.
Yeah.
Right. So,
right.
So we have.
And he had a long-term goal for David.
He did. Yeah.
That no one else even knew at the time.
Exactly. Right. And man, like, David, thank you for giving us this example.
and God.
Yeah. And not, right?
Thank you, God, for giving us this example.
Right. So you have God's working with David, right? And they're still in good relationship, right? And so like we say, with this grace, this mercy, they're in good relationship and we have this issue that's still in there with I'm just going to say sexual immorality. Mm-hmm. Right. So we have this sexual immorality issue here with David. But David and God are still in good relationship. Right. Mm-hmm. And David's not dealing with disobedience in the sense of God's not like pressuring him there at all or asking him not to do that in a clear way. Because even when Nathan confronts him, he's not telling him you shouldn't have all of these sheep or all these wives, because sheeps are the analogy, right? But he's saying, I gave you, like, you have many sheep, and he's not confronting him on that. So there's something there to where like God's mercy and grace is not dealing with that at that time. Who knows? I mean, if later in life, David was like, Solomon, don't do it. Or talking to his other sons, like, don't do it. You know, we don't know. But we see there's something there with us. So if myself or Brandon's like, hey, I'm really thinking about doing this, we already know, like, there's a we're going to be stepping out of disagreement with God in that.
And Jesus clarified some of this stuff too.
Yeah, exactly.
When he came, right.
Exactly.
He's like, okay, you know, even looking at a woman with lust is adultery.
Exactly.
Like he over clarified like just how important
exactly
the marriage relationship is.
Yep. And so with we you can say that's two sides of the triangle here, right? You have David, you have us today. So we can still be in agreement with the head, mm-hmm. or be in good relationship with the head.
Yeah, maybe good relationship is a
good relationship, right, with the head. And the reason I use agreement is because one of the reasons I wanted to say that was just because of that mercy and grace on the David side. Mm-hmm. David's not acting like in a in a clearly or obvious disobedient way. He's right. not acting in a sense of God told him not.
He's being
exactly. God didn't tell David directly, don't do this. And then he's like, no, I don't agree with that. Or like acting in a manner where he knows he's outside of God's will. Right. And God's.
Yeah. Well, with Bathsheba, he did.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's why he's getting confronted on that. Yeah. Because that's a whole nother. Because
right. Because that was, one of the Ten Commandments.
So with that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So with that, in the sense, we have this good relationship there, and quote unquote, obviously, this loose term of definition of mm-hmm. agreement there. Right. But with us, with David and us, I mean, we would be looking at David and be like, no, absolutely not. Right. Yeah. Right. And like, it's a wonder that Nathan, the prophet, obviously he's willing to confront them, mm-hmm. that he didn't even.
Yeah.
Like at that time, he wasn't like, David, get rid of what's up with all the wives, dude. Like, come on.
That we know of though, right?
That too, we know of, right?
He may have.
So there's that thing there. And I think one of the reasons this is so important is because so often, we will think because somebody's not in agreement with us on something that we, right, have dealt with God,
mm-hmm. right,
then we call them false or out of agreement with God.
Okay. Yeah. So a good example of this might be like, us kind of having a holiness factor over other people who claim Christ.
Yeah.
Is that what you kind of
think? No, yeah, absolutely.
Like,
so,
like you got a much worse past than I do. So, you couldn't be a pastor or something like that.
Yeah.
There might be some of that.
No. Yeah. And well, then even in the sense of, cause we'll go all the way. I feel like sometimes people will go all the way to the sense of you're not really a Christian.
Yeah. I was actually just watching.
You don't do this, or because you do this and this.
Yes. So I was just watching this guy called Kelly Kay that I follow. He's an online pastor and he's got a really good following and which that doesn't matter, but I like the way he presents the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's got like, you know, a piercing here and other ones and he gets a lot of comments. He gets comments sometimes like, you know, you're not a real pastor and stuff like that because of the different things.
Yeah.
And, but he's reaching people that an ordinary clean cut person wouldn't be able to reach.
Well, and that those people, right? Those people
and
who
so
are
God
telling
has
him
an
that
agreement with him, I think in that
on
sense,
the piercing on that tattoos, like, right?
That like, I'm still going to use you even though you have these things that maybe you could say are ungodly or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, that's a good example of that, I guess.
Well, and I
for
think
a modern day example.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like piercings and tattoos. So again, some people would probably stone me on this. We're going to go with for argument's sake, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to go with tattoos and piercings falling into one of these areas of, all things are permissible, but not all things are profitable. Right. To where, some people, that's a stumbling block, observing days and holidays and eating meats like Paul talks about. Right.
Yeah.
For some people that's a stumbling block and sin. And for others it's permitted. It's not, we're going to use tattoos and piercings as an example of that. Just for argument's sake, we're going to say that's one of those things. Right. Mm-hmm. So with him, people are confronting him and saying that he's not a real pastor. And he can't be because of like this piercings. And I don't know if he has tattoos, but I'm just going to assume.
I think he does.
Okay. Yeah, I'm assuming. Cause you know, they go together.
I need a piercing.
Right.
I
know. So because he has these piercings and tattoos, right. So I feel like that's another great example of this triangle where it's like, okay, he and God have this agreement, right, on that this is okay. The tattoos, the piercings, he can go get another one today and not feel any conviction about it and continue to work, and God mm-hmm. will continue to bless him and whatnot. But over here, we have the mindset of, no, tattoos and piercings are evil. That is against God. That is ruining your temple, right? And then obviously there's disagreement there. Both sides have this, their own agreement with God, and a disagreement with one another. And I would go so far as to say, while it's okay over here for Kay, right? While it's okay for him, and he can go get a piercing today and a new tattoo today, and God be like, okay, still blessing you. You're not stepping in disobedience to me right now. Over here, if you were to go get that, get a tattoo or a piercing, that could very well be. I'm not saying
it could be based on your influence, right?
Yeah, but that could
be. Are you going to cause someone to stumble because of that?
Right. And is that something that you have committed to God, right? And made an agreement with him on? Because we can look at other things like, I don't know,
like drinking alcohol.
Like drinking alcohol, a Nazarite vow. That's a good, right? Like there's no sin with cutting hair. Mm-hmm. But for someone who has taken a vow and made that agreement with God, now
right. if you put a razor, your own covenant with right? God, you probably should honor it.
Right? So there's these things to where you may have a conviction about something, and that can be sin for you. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be sin for everyone else. There are some of those things. And now, and again, I think on the flip side of that, I think there are some things that really are just sin.
Right.
But God's not dealing with the person on that right now. He's having mercy and grace over that. Yes. And in that sense, where do we interact with that? How do we interact with that?
Yeah.
Do I like we the, continue walking? Do we extend that mercy and grace as well? Or is it on us to correct them or
right.
push them aside? So
I
to
like
speak.
The, there's a church that uses that you don't have to believe to belong.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So we need to be able to allow people to come into churches
yeah.
that aren't sanctified yet.
Mm.
So they can belong.
Yeah.
And there's an agreement there in some ways of like, I'm not going to completely condemn you for the sin that I see.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to let God do that.
Mm.
Like you, that will be revealed in your learning and accepting Christ.
Yeah.
Like you will be convicted yourself and God will do all that work.
Mm-hmm.
My job is just to present the truth to you.
Yeah.
And I think that's true. Like, because then you're getting into the whole, like, we shouldn't really be the judge.
Yes.
Like, that's not our job.
No.
Our job is to be the light and the salt and the truth.
Yeah.
And that's the job. In some cases, we need to be allowing of sin in some way of, not like within leadership, right?
Mm-hmm.
But within the church.
Yeah.
Like, otherwise we wouldn't have any people.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I would even say, especially when it comes to leadership, you have to choose with your leadership specifically. Mm-hmm. So I want to think, I mean, there's some denominations where drinking and smoking is okay.
Mm.
Right. And other denominations where it's like, oh, that's a no go. Right. Like that's a front or like first class ticket to right. hell. Right.
Yeah.
Like don't do it. Now, depending on your, conviction about that and your beliefs about that, if you're one of those where it'd say, no, that's a first class ticket to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well then I would probably say you should be somewhere where your leadership would be in agreement with that.
Yeah.
Right. But at the same time, that doesn't mean you get to step in on, you know, denomination B, C and A or B, C and D over here who say that's okay. And then you look at them like you can't be in leadership.
Right.
Right. Because they're not necessarily your leader.
Yeah.
So,
right.
So to speak across lines like that and say, you can't lead anyone, you're a false leader, you're a false prophet, you're a false pastor because you have piercing or tattoos or you're drinking or you're smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's, they can't be your leader.
Yeah.
Right. Not necessarily they can't lead. Like,
you better
other
have
people.
Some pretty good biblical
uh-huh.
foundation to stand on to make those kind of
exactly.
accusations
yeah.
about who can lead.
Yeah. In a broad sense, I feel like we have it. We owe it both to our leaders, ourselves and our communities to know where we draw the line on our leadership. Right.
Yeah.
And that doesn't always necessarily mean that means you're going to like get rid of your leader, but you choose not to follow them. You choose to go somewhere else.
Yeah, I think if someone's leading and it's really not from God.
Yeah.
This is where we need to read our Bibles.
Come on now.
Right? Like, don't rely on your leader to be your only Bible influence.
Yes.
Because people can twist things.
Yes.
And there are going to be false prophets and false Absolutely. Teachers and all those things.
Absolutely.
And from a, I think there is a standpoint of like, this is where I think pastors need to be getting together and like mm-hmm. there can be some of that calling out of like, hey, maybe you should look at this
yeah.
and see if this is something you should be doing.
Uh-huh.
So there should be some accountability
yes.
and stuff there. But again, like the fall, what you're talking about, where the people are that are following the leader.
Yeah.
You don't have to follow someone that's not,
exactly.
that you don't think isn't biblical.
Exactly. You can just choose not to follow them.
Yeah. And right? that's only going to, you're only going to know that
uh-huh.
if you're in the Word.
Yes.
If you're actually talking to the God.
Yeah.
Because there are, yeah, there definitely, I mean, there's corruption in the church.
Absolutely.
And there is people that are probably doing it very wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so you need to have your own, and that's where we, again, it's like a hard issue between us and God. We need to yeah. get with God and like know what our own convictions are and not just rely on
yeah.
the convictions of others.
Exactly. Oh yeah. So yeah, I think especially, I mean, kind of going back, David, I feel like he's such a good example in this because like you said, like God says, he's a man after my own heart, mm-hmm. right? He has this covenant with God where Jesus himself comes from that line.
Yeah.
He's on the throne of David. Like his name is literally
yeah.
like on this throne that's eternal. And what's so crazy about this is, I mean, today he likely would not be, I mean, I'll say it. Like if David was running a church today, I wouldn't be part of that church,
that
right?
No, probably
like,
not.
Dude, he has like 70 concubines. Like y'all following this dude around? Like, come on. Like I,
yeah,
you know, I wouldn't be part of this church. He has a temper issue, guys. Like,
yeah.
But
it's a different time,
right? And it's a different time. But it's interesting just looking at that in the sense of we have to, I believe, extend like that grace and mercy to each other
mm-hmm.
and knowing that God is dealing with us differently. And I think again, David, one of the reasons why I like that example, I think where I was going with this is, he is someone who was given this tremendous, like beautiful responsibility, mm-hmm. And honor and being in that lineage,
yeah.
right. And being the king of Israel and all these different things. In no way could I ever fathom or, think that the blessing that he had, and the relationship with God that he had, and the what he was a part of, his ministry, right, so mm-hmm. to speak, that I would say, oh, David, I'm more of an anointed leader than him, right? Or I'm more of a, like, my ministry is better than his or anything like that. But yet I can look and say, obviously, he was wrong in this.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's just trippy. Because it's like seriously,
it's
a little trippy because I'm like, man, because we can get into this issue even today and think, how could there's no way this is wrong because of I'm more sanctified than him in this.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm I've been more sanctified, I'm more holy or whatever, and this and this and this sense.
But am I as repentant? Because well, the other thing we see in David right? is that he was very repentant.
Absolutely.
And he did constantly call out to God.
Yeah.
And, you know, which is the greater.
Yeah. But to me, it's so crazy because it's like, and I think this gets back to, again, kind of this idea of are we to judge? Like, how do we judge who's better?
We don't. God does.
It's like, but like, how do we know in the sense yeah. of, man, I just feel like that's trippy because it throws off. And to me, it's discombobulating. Like yeah. this idea of being able to know, I mean, honestly, I guess where it comes back to is like this idea of being able to know and compare and contrast how we're following God mm-hmm. and like who's closer to him or like who's doing right and who's doing wrong. And it's like, man, I think it gets into this both judging and comparative.
Yeah.
Like comparison that we will unfortunately do with one another. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of this whole triangle and why we have these issues with one another is because it's almost like, well, if David could do it, why can't I? Mm. Or
which we shouldn't do.
Which yeah.
Because what and then, but I think what I'm grateful for with the Old Testament on just the whole Bible and the different stories is that you see the imperfection of people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you see how God still chooses to work with us
yeah.
and try to sanctify us uh-huh. and try to give us grace. And that shows just how strong his love is.
Yes.
And if absolutely. It was all just like perfect, it would be so unattainable to us.
Yeah.
I feel like if every Bible character was like this perfect,
absolutely
godly person that never messed up, it would be really hard for us to relate to.
Yeah.
And that he chose it, that he just chooses broken people to accomplish his purposes is so encouraging to me
yeah.
as a broken person that needed to be forgiven of things.
Yeah.
And so I don't think we should look at his permission. Like
yeah.
you said, it's like, I can't look at that and be like, okay, well, it's okay for me to have a ton of wives.
Yeah.
I look at it as like, man, just look at the size of God's grace.
Yeah.
That's helpful to me, but I don't want to need that grace.
Yeah. I don't want to take advantage of that.
I don't
want
to live to need grace.
Exactly.
And Paul actually calls us not to do that, right? It's yeah. like, just because you got the grace doesn't mean you should just keep on going on sinning.
Exactly.
Like, cause that's the other argument. Yeah. It's like, well, if God's going to forgive me, why don't I just keep on sinning?
Exactly.
There is blessing in not sinning.
Absolutely.
And we still have to live the rest of our life.
Exactly. And so there's a lot of ill that came from those many
wives. There's a lot of ill. I mean, sin is the yeah. pathway to death. Exactly. So if you want to keep living in death, then yeah, keep on going, yeah. going on sinning. And I'm sure that through that experience with Bathsheba and stuff, there was some death there.
Oh, there was so much struggle. Like so many issues in the family. And yeah. I wouldn't even say just with Bathsheba, but with the whole issue of multiple wives and yeah. all that.
Oh,
like
totally.
We see from him to Solomon to like...
Oh, yeah, now, like, issues. I watched, like, some of the polygamy stuff that's yeah. happening now, like, the Sister Wives show that was
oh, gosh.
Like, you know, and I'm not the judge.
Yeah, yeah.
But I saw a lot of hurt.
Yeah.
In that show.
Right.
And you see that, like, okay, that can't be, like,
yeah,
that can't be really what God made us for.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the plan.
No.
Like, I see the sanctity in marriage and in the union of two people.
Yeah.
Through watching stuff like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Because there's a lot of pain in that.
Yeah.
A lot of jealousy, a lot of,
oh yeah.
And those, I don't think are what God wants for us.
Yeah. 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 I think, I mean, kind of in summary with this, we cannot use others to help measure our relationship with God.
Yeah.
And that's, I feel like that's a struggle because we want some type of measurement to give us like comfort and confidence. Mm-hmm.
And well, we're great at comparison.
Yes.
Especially right? in America.
Yeah. And comparison's an easier way to give us like that confidence that we're good and whatnot. But, And I think so often we come back to wanting something where we can kind of check boxes, compare and contrast to give us confidence. And unfortunately, or fortunately, God doesn't do it that way. Like, our relationship with him really comes back to our relationship with him. And it's something that we have to work out with fear and trembling and by being in communion with him and
reading the word
and reading his word. Yeah. Right. And having real relationship and faith, which isn't as cut and dry to where you can just like just know that you know that you know. Right. Yeah. There's this concept that faith walks hand in hand with doubt. Like this room of there's not, you know, something concrete to hold on to, because then you're holding on to something concrete and not having like faith.
Concrete doesn't leave a lot of room for grace.
It doesn't. It doesn't leave a lot of room for faith, for or grace, faith. For mercy. Yeah. Yeah, it's and so it's and it, man, that's a struggle. I feel like that's a struggle for us. But yeah. I feel like that's the discomforting.
Well, it's not always fair, right?
No, that's another thing. Like that's not
the thing that just came
fair.
To mind was the workers' wages.
Uh huh.
Where
oh yeah.
So I'm gonna tell the story real quick.
Yes.
I'm just gonna like I'm not gonna read it because I don't know.
No, yeah,
I can't remember
just
exactly
tell
what it is. But so he goes out. It's a worker. He has a field, and he goes out and he hires people. And said, "This is what I'm gonna pay you for the day."
Yeah.
And then later in the day, he hires some more people.
Yeah.
And tells them, "This is what I'm gonna pay you for the day."
Yeah.
And then at the even toward the very end of the day where they only work like an hour.
Yeah.
He said, "This is what I'm going to pay you for the day."
Mm-hmm.
And so they all come in and then he pays and he starts paying the people that came in last first.
Yeah.
And he gives them the pay, but it's the same pay that the first ones thought they were going to get too. So they expect more because they were there longer. And he's like, well, why would I give you more? This is what we agreed on.
Exactly.
So you got your pay that you agreed for.
I haven't wronged
you. But the
you.
Jealousy came because it was less time. And we do that with other Christians,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And that's the, because I've been a Christian longer
man.
And I've been trying to be good longer.
Uh-huh.
So I deserve more.
Yeah. Or I've been doing more. I've been doing this and that. And he only did this. And
this person only did this.
Man.
And it's not fair, but it is grace. It is highly.
Oh man. That's so good.
Leveled in grace.
Yeah.
Like, crazy.
It doesn't make sense.
And it's hard for us to change our heart to be that way.
Yeah.
But that's the heart of God.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
Man, it is so, you're so right on that, spot on that.
And that actually I think applies well to the David thing.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I have not as done as bad as that.
Mm-hmm.
So I should actually be in better standing.
Uh-huh.
It's like, no, God made an agreement to make David who he made him.
Yeah.
Like as far as his, like, history.
Yeah.
When we say make him, some people think that is like, well, he made him to be an adulterer.
Oh no, not that.
That's not what I mean. But he made him to be this person in the Bible.
Yeah.
And gave him the grace and it was because of David's heart.
Yeah.
I think.
Like, yeah. Which is something we can't, again, it's something we can't see.
Yeah. And like, we need to remember that when we're looking at other people. And deciding whether or not they should be able, like that Kelly Kay guy, should I be the one who determines if he can preach or is that God's job?
Yeah. Man, come on now. Oh, all right. So hopefully I clarified what I was meaning there a little bit.
Yeah, that was helpful. And you know, we're not going to get it all right on this.
No.
As we're having these conversations.
Yeah.
And by the way, like, I don't think that we should expect you guys not to correct us either.
Yes, exactly. Well, and that's why, again,
because we're not
saying, that's why we say join conversation, right?
Yeah, like, we're not saying like because we shouldn't necessarily judge doesn't mean we shouldn't share truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So
absolutely.
Like, well, I think you guys might have been wrong on this.
Yeah.
We'd love those calls or whatever.
Exactly. No, yeah, absolutely. And it's
DMs are better to start. We talked about this in the social media.
Yeah, no,
we did.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's against heart posture.
Sometimes like just throwing stuff, just like tearing us down because we messed
something
exactly. up in an online forum. It's like, can we explain?
Yeah. You know, could we talk about that one-on-one, right? It's one of those, what's the heart posture behind it, right?
Yeah.
What exactly are you trying to do here? Because we've talked about that, right? When you're posting something public versus sending a message,
yeah,
there's a different intent there.
Right. Yeah. Is it just a malicious to tear right. down, or is it, or are you actually trying to edify?
Yeah, exactly. Is this for to help correct us, or is this for you to get your word out in public?
Right.
Right. Yeah. So, all right. But that's good stuff. Did I close? I closed last
you did.
Time.
I can do
so
it.
Yeah. So you're gonna close on this one.
Lord, I thank you for the grace that you show us
yeah.
and the people, examples you've given us in your word to look at as just incredible, versions of that grace and love, God. And, though we may not agree with it and maybe we shouldn't agree with it. God, just help us to understand what you really want us to take away, each time we read a message or a story in the Bible. God, let us lean on your Holy Spirit for understanding mm-hmm. and how it relates to us personally, God. And thank you for all that you've done in history and all that you're going to do in and through us. And bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the In Hope podcast. Hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Remember, we want you to be part of the conversation. So comment, like, share, and follow. Also, we want you to consider being a ministry partner with us. For as little as $2 a month, you can help continue this podcast and other ministries that teach about unity and invest in collaborative efforts. Connect with us via social media throughout the week, and we look forward to seeing you next week on Monday on the In Hope podcast.